Welcome to Talking Global Infrastructure, brought to you by the Global Infrastructure Investor Association. Now more than ever, governments around the world are recognizing the importance of partnership with the private sector to deliver the transformational investment required to meet global challenges. But how do we deliver the enormous scale of investment needed to close the infrastructure gap in an affordable way, whilst addressing societal challenges such as net zero commitments, climate resilience, and the digital economy? GIIA and its members are at the forefront of this debate, and Talking Global Infrastructure is the podcast that will delve into these subjects and more to bring you valuable insights from the experts in the sector.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Talking Global Infrastructure. Today, we're turning our attention to the US ahead of the Infrastructure Investment Forum taking place at Stanford University on this coming Thursday, 20th of April, alongside the Build America Center and the team here at the Global Infrastructure Investor Association. It's an exciting time for the US market, with two major pieces of legislation spurring inward investment: the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, which promises $550 billion worth of new spending on projects in the years to 2026, and the Inflation Reduction Act, which contains nearly $370 billion worth of measures aimed at improving energy security and tackling climate change. I'm Matt Dickinson, Head of Communications and Marketing at the Global Infrastructure Investor Association, and I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Kingbin Sui, Director at the Build America Center, Michael Bennon, who manages the Global Infrastructure Policy Research Initiative at Stanford University in California, and David Kwam, GIIA's representative in the US. QC, I wonder if you can set the scene for us. Where are we with allocation of federal infrastructure spending, and what role is the Build America Center playing in that process?
Thank you for the question. So overall, I think that the implementation of the bipartisan infrastructure law run very well. Of course, there are some disappointment in slow release of some funding opportunity, especially related to highway and congestion relief kind of a program there. But overall, many program has been, quite successful to attract the application from the local government and meet the Congress goal to really promote a community-based approach to deliver infrastructure projects there. So you already see that in 2023, some of the discretionary program has already released their second round of funding opportunities, Safety Street for All, and the new Reconnecting Community program will be releasing their funding opportunity very soon. So overall, there is a very good, achievement in terms of achieving Biden administration's goal, especially, the diversity, climate, equity, aspect there. And you can see that the grants has been awarded to, a large number of disadvantaged community and a rural area. And so that's, in terms of those goals, I think the implementation of the bill run very well. So back to the Build America Center. So we are basically the technical assistance program designated by the US DOT. So we support especially local government who are under resources so that they can apply for grant. We help them to navigate the funding opportunity, scope the project, provide evidence or data-driven application preparation. We actually have a pretty good, scorecard. So over the past year, we support more than 15 state, county, city, local government, and tribal government. And five of out of the application that we support all got awarded. So we have been helping local government to secure more than $13 million so that they can deliver their infrastructure project there. So we are looking for more opportunity to work with the local government. And we are also, welcome all opportunity that the local government can offer so that we can work together, help them to deliver the crucial infrastructure project there.
Well, that's good to hear and encouraging to know that that allocation process is moving smoothly for the most part. Michael, you manage infrastructure policy research at Stanford. where Thursday Summit is taking place. What are the big challenges and opportunities facing the private and public sector representatives who will be there on the day?
Right. Well, yeah, no, that's one of the big questions for next week that I think it's one of the motivations behind holding the summit is kind of getting an update from some of the major public sponsors in the United States, also hearing a little bit from the investment community about what some of the big challenges are and what opportunities they're seeing now that all this legislation has passed. So ahead of the summit, I'd say my perspective is that obviously there's a huge opportunity coming in the U.S. infrastructure market. I think the legislation has created a big opportunity. Most folks are talking about obviously all the federal funding that is coming into the sector through the legislation. I think actually the bigger opportunity aside from the federal funding is simply that kind of the question of how much federal funding is going to be out there is starting to be answered for a lot of public sponsors. So for nearly a decade in the United States, we've been talking about passing major federal infrastructure legislation. We've been talking about passing major legislation relating to the energy transition. And there's been a bit of a question mark kind of over the U.S. infrastructure sector as public sponsors at the state level, at the local level, have kind of considered their options for financing infrastructure, how much local funding is needed, how much state funding, whether to use private financing or not. There's always been this big question over their shoulder a little bit in terms of how much federal funding is there going to be, because that's the big question. And so now with the passage of the legislation, a lot of public sponsors across the U.S., we're having more detailed guidance on the IRA and how that's going to affect the energy industry. Those questions are finally being answered. And so now public sponsors can actually move forward with their projects with that information in hand and make the best decisions for their projects. So I think that's actually a huge opportunity stemming directly from the legislation. In terms of there's also challenges. I'd say there's kind of always the big challenge in U.S. infrastructure is our development process. We have a challenging development process in the United States. There's very high third-party risks, high risk of intervention via, litigation during the permitting process. Things like utility relocations are challenging, land acquisition for projects. There's a kind of an arduous development process in the United States. And that hasn't changed now that a lot of projects are moving forward. So when you combine, I think, all of the funding from our legislation, the fact that a lot of public sponsors are kind of now ready to move forward with our, challenging kind of incremental development process in the United States, there is that potential for cost inflation. And I think that's going to be one of the big challenges as we kind of move forward from passing the legislation into actually executing on the legislation and delivering projects that actually impact people's lives. There's going to be that continued, and we're already seeing it in the industry in terms of cost inflation. So there will be some challenges there that public sponsors need to manage, but we'll hopefully learn more about some of those challenges next week.
That makes sense. And when we surveyed our members, even back in the autumn, the inflation issue was already starting to surface along with the increasing cost of debt. So that makes sense that would be front of mind for a lot of those involved in this space. David, GIIA will, of course, be at Thursday's event as well, along with the National Governors Association. Why is engagement at the state level so important at this stage of infrastructure development across the US?
In the United States, all the real projects and implementation happen at the state and local level. The money comes from the federal government, but ultimately it's states and cities and counties who are building the infrastructure that all that money goes towards. GIIA has had a long-time partnership with the National Governors Association, one that's lasted more than 3 years, because of the leadership governors present when it comes to infrastructure and infrastructure projects. Governors were instrumental in both getting the federal law passed and now are the cornerstone of the projects that are going on inside states. So we're very thankful that the National Governors Association has partnered with GIIA and the Build America Center to participate in this conference. Their participation, the help and participation of local governments as well, really will make this conference comprehensive, because you're bringing not only federal partners, private sector partners, but also then those state and local partners that are going to make this work. And only when you have all the parties together can you really learn the lessons to make infrastructure building and infrastructure projects in the U.S. more efficient and deliver them both on time and on budget ultimately. So that's what we're looking for. And that's why we're very excited to have the National Governors Association part of this conference and in attendance.
I'm picking up on David's point about private sector involvement there, QC. The infrastructure law is designed to catalyze private investment in infrastructure alongside the public element. Do you think rising inflation and economic instability have contributed to the case for that private involvement?
Well, definitely right now that because of the inflation, the project cost grows and the purchasing power of the dollar probably would be less considering, you know, the growing construction cost there. But on the other hand, in fact, that also create opportunity for the private industry, because for public agency that waiting for long term, that would cost much more because of inflation. So the acceleration of the project delivery in one sense would actually save money for public agency, for the state there. And the infrastructure law, by partisan infrastructure law, actually you know, promote many of those private involvement. And you can see that the bill include $100 million and the assets concession program, which actually trying to really promote TOD oriented you know, private involvement and the project development there. So it's not only the, you know, traditional highway P3 project, but also that we expand to a much broader field, that we can include affordable housings, you know, all kinds of social infrastructure that are associated with the P3. And basically that you see the big area would be this electrical vehicle infrastructure. That's the big area that the P3 industry should play a critical role. And the bottom line here is that the public agency is not going to really operate those charging stations for long term. It's still the private sector's role. And also when we are building the EV infrastructure network in the United States, and we definitely need more investment, the IIJA is not sufficient to build the entire network. And we need to really, you know, engage and actually involve the private industry to really build more EV charging stations across the entire networks.
And Michael, I mentioned our most recent Pulse survey earlier. What we also see within that study is the US consistently outranking other markets in terms of attractiveness to infrastructure investors. Is that a trend you see continuing as this legislation has more and more of an effect, or are there risks at play there?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the U.S. is going to continue to be a very attractive market for investment, you know, generally, for all the reasons the U.S. has historically been a great market for investment. You know, specific to the infrastructure sector, I think that will continue. I think the U.S. is a very unique market in terms of private infrastructure investment. For similar reasons to what I alluded to earlier, we do have a challenging development process in terms of bringing deals to financial close. almost irrespective of sector, though it does vary. And so that's kind of in some ways a negative in terms of it is challenging to bring deals to fruition in the United States. It varies a lot from state to state. One of the trends more recently, say over the last maybe 10 years, is I think we're seeing a lot more public sponsors wanting to bring projects to close. We've seen a lot more opportunity at the state level in the energy sector for investment. And we've seen a lot of canceled transactions. And that's almost irrespective of sector. Some in public works, there's been that trend. In energy, there's been that trend as well. And so that's obviously an impediment to investment. However, it also makes the market more attractive. I mean, I think one of the things that makes the U.S. infrastructure market so attractive is just there's just this huge need for infrastructure investment in the United States, partially driven by the challenging development process. It's understandable that investors would look at the U.S. and especially certain sectors in the United States that are kind of very different than have very different levels of private investment relative to, say, Europe. You can look at the United States and see our renewables generation keeps rising. There's going to be more need for kind of grid stability investments, transmission investments, other large projects. So there's just this huge underlying need. And I think for those projects, when developers with the right skill set are able to actually bring projects to financial close and navigate the development process, then I think those assets have historically done very well in the United States and borne out the investment need. Obviously, it varies from project to project. But I think those projects that are out there that were brought to close have done very well in the United States. So I think that combination of factors will continue to make the U.S. a very attractive market for infrastructure investment going forward. I think that development skill set of being able to navigate the stakeholder engagement, bring different government public sponsors together, navigate permitting and land control, and then reach financial close. I think that skill set is especially important in the U.S. And investors that bring that to the table and are able to close projects are going to do very well in the United States.
And in terms of some of the challenges you mentioned there, is there more the government could be doing at the federal or state level to overcome those, or is it more about that skill development piece that you referred to there?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think that's one of the questions that we're going to be talking about next week is kind of what could we do both at the state level in terms of bringing projects together and at the federal level. I think the Biden administration right now is definitely front of mind. They have the Permitting Improvement Steering Council at the White House that is working on ways that agencies can coordinate better to deliver projects. I think that's obviously that's important for investments, also important for the administration. I think now that they've passed this this historic legislation, now it's going to go into delivery mode, and they're actually going to have to kind of turn all those dollars into actual projects. So I definitely think that that's front of mind, and it's something that we're talking about. So I think it's a combination. I think there's definitely things that the federal government could do differently or that states could do differently to bring projects through that development process. And it's also on the public sponsors and investor developers as well to navigate that process. Be very proactive early on in the project development process, bring stakeholders together, kind of understand what some of those key threshold issues are and address them early on. I think that's going to be a very important part of the process as well. So I think it's going to be a combination that we'll have to look at.
And David, we've obviously been focusing on the US in this episode, but at the Global Infrastructure Investor Association, we represent members all around the world. Do you have any reflections on what global policymakers can learn from what's happening in the US at the moment?
The international investment community, one of the things that they can really learn from the United States is frankly just how complex the United States is. Multiple layers of decision makers, multiple layers of government, and is both the strength of the system, the diversity of interest, but it also means that it can be very difficult to get these deals through. There's a reason why the rest of the world has been largely leaders in P3 development, whereas in the United States, we're still really trying to bring the private sector together with the public sector with regard to infrastructure investment. This, however, is a point in time where I think you start to see a real change and an evolution in the way that the United States invests in infrastructure. The money that was put in by Congress and the administration is a game changer. It's one that's attracting international money to the United States. It's attracting private investment in the United States. And this conference, we're so excited to be working with the Build America Center because, again, we get to bring together private sector, public sector, to try to work through some of these complexities and actually build for the future. And so the group that we're putting together is designed to have that discussion. How do we do this better? How do we find best practices between each other? And at the end of the day, do the building, do the projects, initiate and catalyze the both innovation and investment that's really going to rebuild the infrastructure in the United States. And that's something that's going to help everybody internationally, domestically, and sort of bring these together. I will say this as well. At this conference, I think there's going to be a lot that U.S. investors are going to learn in talking about what has happened internationally, because I think there are several lessons that can be brought from other countries to the U.S. to make our own systems better. And so for over the 2 days of this conference, I mean, we're going to be talking not only about financing, the anatomy of what makes a deal work, permitting, and how you can streamline that. It's both about identifying issues, solving problems, sharing practices, and ultimately see if we can't get to a point where this entire system is just a little bit more efficient. We can learn from each other. So it's a great question. I think there's something in it for everybody. Infrastructure is international. Although it is domestic, it drives the economies, and the economies of the world know no borders. So that's what's exciting about this work.
Well, that seems like a positive note to end on there. Thank you for that, David. And thank you, Michael and QC as well, for taking the time to join us today. Full details about Thursday's summit can be found in the show notes for this program. And you can subscribe to Talking Global Infrastructure on Spotify and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Talking Global Infrastructure. For more information about GIIA, please visit our website, giia.net, and look out for the next edition of our podcast by following us on LinkedIn and Twitter.